Hello, my name is Edgar King and I'm the lead pastor of Trinity Vineyard Church Nakuru. I am so grateful that you are tuning into our podcast today. Head over to our Facebook page and see some of the information that you may need if you're in Nakuru and you'd like to join us. Nonetheless, we will still be online for those who are unable to join us in person. Thank you very much. I hope this installation of talks today will be a blessing to you.
Morning, Trinity. Awesome. There's life in here today. My name is Edgar King. I'm the lead pastor, and I am just excited that you all joined us. I'm seeing faces that I haven't seen in a while. Karibuni sana. Oh, I'm going to tell you a secret in a little while. This is the fourth week of Lent, and some people don't know what Lent is, so if this is your first, you've not been to church in a long time, welcome back. Or, you know, if just Lent is a new thing to you, Lent is a period of 40 days that starts with Ash Wednesday and leads up to Easter. And we do not want to assume things. We don't just want to assume that people should know this, because this is such an important story we're being invited to. The life Jesus is inviting each one of us to is so important, we don't want to make assumptions. And during Lent, we focus on, we retell the story of Jesus' journey towards the cross. His sacrifice, his passion, his suffering, and even his death and resurrection on the cross. The same death and resurrection that is the centerpiece of our salvation, the centerpiece of our faith. It is what changed everything. And you know, for this year at Trinity, we've been focusing. I'm just realizing that this table is not usually there. Sorry, I'm back. So where was I? What we're doing this year at Trinity. So we're focusing on the fact that his death and resurrection changed us. It didn't just change history as we know it. It changed human beings. It changed us. You know, the death and resurrection of Jesus literally split history into two. It's what started what we know as the common era or AD for history. But it's not just history that was changed. How people run governments is there's so much, whether we accept it or not, the principles of freedom for governments that are so into freedom are, most of them are based on the teachings and the life of Jesus. He changed everything. But not only did he change that, he is the most famous and transformational teacher that ever lived. But not only did he change history, he changed us. Those who've put their trust in Jesus, he's made us new creation. God is making all things new, and he saw it fit to start with you. God is changing all of creation because something went wrong. And as he renews everything, he saw it fit to start with you. That's good news. And so God looks at you, God looks at me, God looks at us and sees the work that Jesus has already completed. He sees us as changed people. He sees us in the glory of the Son, you know? And this means that if you're in the room, And you're just done with what life has been, you're just done with the weight that it has had on your soul, you too can be changed. If you're thinking, I just want to start afresh, you too can be changed. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you're not even sure what this is about, but you're thinking, I might just try this, at the end of this celebration, as our prayer teams move to the back, come and talk to us. Come and let's just celebrate what change God is bringing into your life. So if you've never tried this, if you want to try this, if you want this to be in with the change that God has started at the cross of Jesus, you're invited. And one of the points I've been trying to make is at the moment we give our lives to Jesus, our change becomes what happened at the cross. And all we're invited to do is step into that reality through this journey of discipleship. Step into that reality. And you know, discipleship sometimes sounds like a very religious term. What it really means is apprenticeship under Jesus. It really means following Jesus. It means being with Jesus, learning to do what Jesus did. Being with Jesus, speaking like Jesus, and learning to live like Jesus lived. That's the journey we're on. And as we step into that journey, we become more and more like Jesus. It's not just an invitation to put your trust in Jesus. That's great, and that's it. Yet you will not step into everything that God has invited you to step into if you do not daily pick up your cross, daily pick up your life, daily pick up everything you are and become a disciple and follow Jesus. So, you know, so many believers stop at, I have faith in Jesus. That's great. Then start the journey of walking into the reality you have been created for. And so there's a guy named Paul, and he lived, when we meet him, he's living a different life. He's even going by a different name, and it's not such an interesting life it's not a good life if you think about it. He meets Jesus. Not only does he put his faith in Jesus, he starts following Jesus. He spends years learning and being with Jesus, then he begins to do what Jesus did. And this led him to plant so many churches. And some of these churches would write letters, or he would be with them and he would teach them, correct them, encourage them, you know, change a few things that were a bit warped. And so one of those letters that's where we get a portion that has been a corner piece for this series. You know, 2 Corinthians 3:17 to 18. So Paul says, now the Lord, I'm referring to the Holy Spirit, and wherever he is Lord, there is freedom. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transformed into the very image, into his very image, as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration or formation or transformation or change comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Wherever the Holy Spirit is Lord, wherever we say nothing else will be Lord, not my desires, not the person in State House, not my culture. Wherever we decide that Jesus is Lord, the Holy Spirit brings freedom. Freedom from things that once bound us. Sin, fear, lust, condemnation, name it, anything that once bound us. We're free from all that. We're free from all that. When God sees you, he already sees the beauty, the weight of the glory of Jesus. He sees you as Jesus has completed the work in you. He sees you free from everything that once bound you. He sees you free. And so the invitation then is to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Keep following him, and we step into this reality as we change from one glory to another. And the truth is, sometimes you look in the mirror, and you don't quite see that change, right? Sometimes you're just going, I don't think I'm free from this. You know, maybe driving down to church or walking down to church, something happened on the road, and your responses did not reflect the glory of God. You know, maybe, you know, where you were last evening didn't quite reflect the glory of God. And sometimes you think, I don't quite see the change. Here's the thing, God looks at you and sees the complete transformation. So, what do we do between where we are now, what you saw in the mirror, and what God is seeing? And that could be a journey of 20 years. That could be a journey of 5 years. Whatever it is, it's a journey of following Jesus that we've been invited to. It's a journey of discipleship. That's what Paul means by saying we're being transformed from one glory to another. We keep doing it every morning, every month. It's not a once in a life. I said yes to Jesus, that's it. No, will you say yes every morning? I said yes to Jesus. Well, will you say yes when your marriage isn't as interesting as you thought it should be? Will you say yes when really you could gain a lot in an instant if you cut a few corners at work? Will you say yes every day? And then as you journey with Jesus, you become like him, one glory to another. So Joy reminded us that we are children of God. You know, we have a new identity. We are what God says we are. And last week, you know, I talked about the that we have the mind of Christ. Our minds have been changed. Our thought patterns, how far we think God is. And God is inviting us to know that he is close. And what that means is then change how you think about these things and let it change how you do. And today I want us to talk about something else that Jesus changed. I am changed. And you know what else has been changed? Our culture. So today we'll talk about changed cultures. Let's pray. Father, bring your peace over us. Holy Spirit, you are Lord here, so bring your freedom. And we surrender everything. I ask, Lord, that if there's anything else that is competing in our hearts for your lordship, that we surrender and we just let it fall. Lord, if there's things that have happened through the week and it's what's on our minds, Lord, we just let them fall and declare that you are Lord and bring freedom. Father, come and speak to us. Come and speak to us individually and as a community. And do what only you can do. Amen. So there's a story I read a few years back of a couple that had just gotten married. And they were going to host a group of friends together for the first time. Their first hosting. And that usually is a big deal. You want everything right. You know, I was hosting some friends over. They'd never come to my house. And that day, I just laid out, you know, everything, the plates, the cutlery. But I was honest and told them, listen, after your second visit here, this will not be the norm, you know. You'll go to the kitchen. Those who come home often are like, yeah, you know the kitchen, you know. Well, so, but the first hosting, you want it to be perfect. And so they were under pressure a little bit. And so the wife was in the kitchen cooking. I hope that's because she was a better cook and not because they thought that that's where women should be. But anyway, the wife was in the kitchen cooking, and so the husband was supposed to lay the table. And he does his best, and he thinks, voila, I have done a great job. And she comes out of the kitchen and goes, what is this? If you didn't want to do it, you should have said it. And she starts rearranging the cutlery. And he steps back, and he's not quite sure what happened. One thing is sure is that his wife is mad. Why didn't you just say you didn't want to do it? See, what's happening is they had grown up in two different families. So they had different ways of doing things. They had different family cultures. And now they're together, and those two cultures are beginning to clash. Because what is culture? The way we view life, the way our set of values as a group of people, our set of beliefs, our set of doing life, our collective lifestyle. And so this couple has to now form a new family culture, which would mean that there would be things they would pick from each side of the family. There would be things that they would dump and say, that should never come into this house. They will form new traditions. They will decide whether they like coffee more than tea or tea, you know, whichever. But they are beginning to form a new family culture. There will be new things that they will come up with. And you see, that's the same idea. When we put our faith in Jesus, we are coming from a place. And we become part of the family of God. And guess what? There's a way we did life. There's a way that was okay. There's a culture we had. And God invites us to a very different place. And I want us to also realize that it'll be some of the things that were in our previous families, in our previous cultures, are okay. And we can carry them with us. Yet some of the things will begin clashing with the heart of God. with what God is forming inside us. And those things have to go. Just like the story I told. So what are some of the things, what are some of the groupings that give us our culture? Our ethnic communities, you know, our tribes. We have so many different tribes here. You could be Luo, you could be Kisi. I still don't get why some people love potatoes, right? And some people just don't get how you could have any meal without potatoes and cabbages. I'm like, okay, well, that's how they grew up. It's a culture. And I love fish, but if there's fish in Matumbo, I know what I'm taking, right? So some people are shocked, like, why don't you pick fish over turp? Like, well, but you see, all that's happening is different groups have different cultures, there's different beliefs, different ways of doing things, different foods that they grew up taking and therefore they like. And people don't like change. You know, it's one thing to be African. It's another thing to be African-American or African immigrant into the UK or to the US. All these different people groups have different cultures. Another thing that gives us our cultures is our generation. I did not know that online there was a generation war between Gen Zs and millennials. Like, wow. A few Gen Zs came to the office, and they made me feel old. Millennials, do you remember when we used to look at people and say they were old? That's us now. And millennials, you know, just like 5 years ago, there was this whole conversation online about how terrible millennials are in company cultures. They just can't work. They're always on their phone. There's always this, you know, culture wars between different generations. And of course, we all know what we've said about the older generations when they're not around. Let's not go there. Okay. Come on, people. Be like you were last time. Anyway, no. So, yet, when we get into the family of God, we are all one family, and we're called to the same thing. There will be things we'll pick from there, and there will be things that God says, no, this doesn't come in. You know, our countries of origin. Like, here's the funny thing. You leave this country and you meet a group of Kenyans, say, in the UK or the US. No one cares what tribe you are. You know, people just go, you're from Kenya. Oh, they. My brother, as he was leaving, migrating to the US, met one of his closest friends to this day in the airplane. And now they're close friends. Like, wait, y'all didn't know each other. The fact that they were in an aeroplane together as Kenyans moving into the UK. Oh, my friend, I think we're brothers. I think we're made for this. Because we are bound by something when we come from the same country of origin. You know, there are some countries that go, God first, then country. Like, there's something about being from the same country. There's a way we do things, right? And you know, God loves diversity. There's a lot of talk in the world today about diversity, and we are. This is not a new vision. From the very beginning, God created diversity. And if you look at the revelation that a friend of Jesus called John has at the end, he sees heaven and he sees diversity. So all this conversation about diversity isn't new. God loves diversity. God created diversity. And so it's not about getting rid of diversity. Actually, the problem is, this is just a sidebar. The problem is, the world is trying to create God's vision without God. That's going to crumble. Anyway, back to what we're talking about. So, essentially, because God loves diversity, God embraces all these different cultures. If you've ever been told that God doesn't like your culture, that's not true. God loves diversity. And because cultures have been created by human beings, you and I, who are broken, our cultures reflect that, and our cultures are broken. So in every culture, there is something God is confronting. God loves diversity, and so he embraces every culture, and God is healing, is making new creation, and so he confronts every culture. That's the reality, that every culture is being embraced, and every culture is being confronted by the kingdom of God. So what do we do as believers? What does that mean for us? As changed ones, as children of God, as agents of the kingdom of God, are we American first? Are we Kenyan first? Are we Luo first? Are we millennials first? Are we going to be Gen Zs first? What should we answer to? Should we answer to everything our generation labels as us? Should we answer to everything our nation labels as us? Well, this is what Kenyans do. Well, this is what Kisis do. What do we answer to? Well, one thing I want to say up front is that we're invited to live in this tension of the kingdom of God. The tension of the reality that God is embracing every culture and God is confronting every culture. And as believers, we live in that tension. It's our daily reality. So there's a prayer Jesus made when he was very close to death. You know, he sees it coming. This is why he came. And so he knows it's coming. And he makes this prayer over his disciples. And I've said before that when people are close to dying and they know it, they don't mince their words. They pick what's very important because they don't want you to forget this. And so this must have been a heartfelt prayer for Jesus. This prayer was important. He knows he's about to go. And so I'll just read a portion of it. It's in John 17, 13 to 19. One of his friends who followed him around, called John, remembered it and noted it down. So this is what he says to God. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. See, here is the mindset we're invited to as children of God. We are not of the world any more than Jesus is of the world. In the place of the word world, put any of the things that form your culture. We are not any more American than Jesus is American. We're not any more Kenyan than Jesus is Kenyan. We're not any more Luo than Jesus is Luo. We're not any more Gen Z than Jesus is Gen Z. Well, yeah, what generation would we put Jesus in? You know, that's the mindset Jesus is inviting us to. That we are not any more of the world. We're not any more of the cultures we're living in than he is. In fact, the world will hate you for this very reason. The world will hate us just like it hated Jesus, because our values, because our way of life will be different from theirs. At some point, they will clash. If you're living life in a way that your values and your way of life is not clashing with that of your world, you probably are not allowing Jesus to form you as he is wanting to. Because there's a point where if we follow Jesus faithfully, our world, our values, our way of life, our culture begins to clash with the culture of our generation, with the culture of our nation, with the culture of our people group. And it doesn't work well for believers when we capitulate, when we enter our people group and start behaving like them just to get along. They know this. Your friends can know when you're pretending just to fit in. Your friends can know when you shouldn't be where you are. Your friends can know when they're going, I can speak like this, but probably you shouldn't be speaking like this. The world knows when the church isn't acting right. And they go, wow, did you see what Christians did? Like, it's okay for those other people, but seriously. And a big part of our culture is our politics, because people get together and then people need politics. If we're willing to step into what God is calling us to be, our political parties will not like us so much because we won't fit in. Proponents of the BBI and opponents of the BBI will not like you, both of them. Democrats and Republicans will both not like you. Conservatives and those of the Labour Party will not like you. If we faithfully follow Jesus, it comes a place where our values and our way of life will clash with those of the political cultures we live in. And if it's not happening for you, Jesus might be inviting you to step into the formation he has called you for. You know, speaking of politics, Jesus was killed because of his politics. He kept saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. And in that place, there was a different king. I like that Kenya's life has experiences that are sometimes similar to the Bible. Just a few years back, we had two presidents. That's unusual. So one of them was saying, no, I'm the true president, and the other one was saying, I'm the true president. So in that age, in those days, if you make such a claim, the king who has the army and everything comes and kills you. This is partly why Jesus was killed. He kept saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he would answer to Messiah, and that meant Caesar is not king. This is why Rome killed him. He openly opposed the rulership, the oppression of Rome. This is why they killed him. So the religious leaders who handed him over to Rome knew that all they needed to do is bring this issue up, and Rome would be glad to take care to finish Jesus. So they said on his cross, there was this wording, the King of the Jews. So that people know what mistake Jesus had made in the eyes of Rome. Yet, at the same time, Jesus' politics shocked his followers, his own followers. You know, they believed that Jesus is the Messiah, which for them meant a king coming to deliver them from the rulership of Rome and restore the rule of the kingdom of Israel as they remembered it. So when Jesus, even as he's making this prayer, he's telling them he's leaving, it doesn't make sense. Why are you leaving? It's about time to take up arms and go fight a battle and kick the Romans out. So his politics is now shocking his own followers. One day he was asked a question about taxes. And he was asked, well, if the kingdom of God is coming, that's the context, then should we pay taxes to Rome? And Jesus asks for a coin and asks, whose face is on this coin? Caesar. Like, okay, then give Caesar what is his and give God what is his. Like, wait a minute, you just said that the kingdom of God is coming, which for them meant that the kingdom of Israel is coming, and you are saying we should pay taxes to Caesar. His politics is beginning to shock his followers. It seems to me that if we carefully and faithfully follow Jesus, he will lead us to a place where we see clearly what is wrong with the government of the day, and we still can't fit in what political parties might try to claim us. If we faithfully and carefully follow Jesus, his politics will both be for us and confront us. the things in our heart. Jesus doesn't exactly quite fit in any culture. You know, so many people are right when they say, well, Jesus was a Jew and he did Jewish things. Yes, Jesus actually lived in a culture. And at the same time, he was free from that culture. And, you know, and it's the same, he doesn't quite fit, because some of the problems the religious leaders had with him is that he wasn't very cultural. Like, why is he in the field harvesting on the Sabbath? He doesn't quite fit a particular culture, even that which we think he is part of. He doesn't quite fit a particular brand of politics. So what then defines our culture? What then defines our politics? Because Jesus, when he said pay taxes to Caesar, he's saying, yes, engage in culture. Engage in politics. Don't run to the hills and hide. No, engage in culture. Engage in politics. But how do we do it? We give Caesar what is Caesar's, and you give God what is God's. And what is God's? The king and his kingdom. It's about God and the people of God. That is the worldview. That is the lens through which believers are invited to engage with our culture and our politics. It's always about God and his people. This means that every time we're engaging in politics, as it picks up for 2022, the real question for us should be, how is this honoring God? How is this honoring God's children? Not Christians, God's children. If it dishonors your neighbor, it doesn't honor God. Because your neighbor has God's image on him. He belongs to God. If a brand of politics dishonors your neighbor, that is not of God. If a brand of culture dishonors your neighbor, that is not of God. If a brand of culture dishonors God, the kingdom of God is embracing all cultures and confronting all cultures. That's the tension you have been invited to live in. And you know why this is important? Because sometimes people have lived thinking that there is one. There's a culture or a nation they could call Christian. And I see people say this a lot on the news. Well, Kenya is a Christian nation. No, it's not. No, it's not. Actually, its constitution says it's not. Our constitution. You know? It's been sad that sometimes when Muslims find faith in Jesus, they're told, well, now you have to dress like a Christian. Well, there is no Christian dress code. It's sad that you know, sometimes people will be told, well, you're going to church. It's Sunday. Honor God. Dress in this way. Well, there's nothing of that sort. Because we need to allow people to step into the freedom God has invited them into. Yet, one of the most important things, what is very important even for us today, is that Jesus will constantly invite us as we journey in the formation, as Jesus is forming his heart in us from one glory to another, we will constantly be invited to say no to things that are normal in our culture, which is quite hard because we grew up in that culture. People don't like change. We like what we like. There's an emotional attachment to who we think we are. And so constantly, Jesus will invite us to say no to things that have been normalized in our culture. And this, my friends, is the journey of discipleship. We have to question the things that our tribe and ethnic group has said about the other ethnic group. And we have to rise above the things we've believed about ourselves too. We have to question the casualness with which political parties have treated abortion, for example, while questioning the view of our political parties towards the stranger and the immigrant who God commands us to love. Why? Because our values are different, and they will come into clashing with the cultures of the world we live in. We have to question the casualness with which our generation has treated sex and gender, while rising above the generations that have closed doors for people who struggle with that, for people who don't agree with us. We have to be in this place of tension, the tension of the kingdom. This and more. We cannot fit squarely into any particular culture or political outfit. We just can't. And it doesn't matter how many years these values and narratives have been in existence. When God invites us in, I saw a quote, I think it's from it's from one of the older theologians who's probably, if not 10, at least 100 years dead. He said, when God calls a man or a woman, he calls him to die. There's a lot in our culture that we will be called to die to. This, my friends, is a journey of discipleship. Why don't I call the band back on stage as we come to a close? So what do we do? What do we do? Do we run to the hills where no government can reach us or do we just break away from family and decide, no, I belong to God now? It's sad. So one day I was having a conversation with a friend. I think I've said this story here before, and I don't know how he came to naming kids, and they were like, well, I will give my child Christian names. What they meant is that they would not give them African names. Like, that's just not the case. We are actually called to be present where we are. I want to read, the same portion, the last portion of the prayer Jesus made. Because his invitation is that we daily surrender to the Lordship of the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit will shape our values, will shape our beliefs, will shape our practices and our general way of life. So this is what Jesus says about it. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world. I'm just going to read it this way. You are not of the world any more than Jesus is of the world. You are not any more of the world than Jesus is of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. As Jesus was sent to the world, Jesus is sending you into the world. For us, he sanctified himself, that we too may be sanctified. Jesus wants you to be in the world, but not of the world. Jesus wants you to be properly Luo, but not of the Luo people group. Jesus wants you to be Kenyan, but not of Kenya. Jesus wants you to be Gen Z, but not of Gen Z. Jesus wants you to be in any way you define your world, in those cultures you were born into, but not of them. Because you're not any more of those cultures than Jesus is. Jesus lived in a culture, but he was never a prisoner of that culture. So that's why we look back and go, yes, Jesus is a Jew. And at the same time, the Jews looked at him and went, well, there's something wrong with this one. So people will meet you and go, of course, he is this. But those who are this will look at you and go, nah, he's not. He's not. Ah. And so he's sending us to our people. And I think that's partly why Jesus prayed that don't take them from the world. He's sending you to your people. Because as they look at you, they will see Jesus. And so Jesus says, I have sanctified myself so that they may be sanctified. If your people group will be sanctified, if the culture you live in will be sanctified, you will need to be sanctified. And this, my friends, is what happens when we let the Holy Spirit be Lord. When we let the truth of God, not how we want to define truth. Every culture wants to define its own sets of truth. And Jesus is saying, no, my truth, God's word is truth. If we let the Holy Spirit be Lord, then his truth sanctifies us. And that's how the people around us begin to get sanctified. Why don't you stand? You are changed. Your culture is changed. And I'm wondering just, in this moment, what truths, what values, what ways of life is the Holy Spirit just placing his hand on and saying, you know what? This. What political rhetoric or just values is the Holy Spirit saying, this is what I'm asking you to lay down. Because I'm charging you in the name of Jesus. For them, sanctify yourselves, that they too may be truly sanctified. The band is going to lead us in just a short song as I be present. Let your heart be present.